the Batman. Matt Reeves is the Batman. This film is a masterpiece. I absolutely love it. It's definitely my favorite Batman film now. And it might be my favorite comic book movie of all time. I mean, if you know me, like, my favorite has been Avengers Endgame. But I think this is going to overtake it. I'm not really 100% sure yet. I just need a bit of time for this to marinate, but I absolutely love it. Batman's my favorite character for a start, so like, and I love the Christopher Nolan films. They're fantastic. My favorite out of the Christopher Nolan films or Batman films before this film was actually Batman Begins. I know a lot of people say The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight is a masterpiece, but Batman Begins for me was a better film because it was more about Batman, and that's the character I'm interested in, seeing his origins. That was what I was interested in the most, and that film hit me the most. But this film, like, I think it surpassed all of the Nolan films, and I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan, but Matt Reeves just hit it out of the park. This film is fantastic. Absolutely love it. Now, what I loved about it was its tone. It's the fact that you feel Gotham as this really horrible place, this film noir kind of style that he filmed in. The narration from Bruce Wayne, from Batman throughout the film. Just the beginning with the Riddler and the design and the character of the Riddler, the way that they made him into like a Zodiac serial killer, kind of reminiscent of something you see in Seven or Saw, you know, as opposed to like the quirky, jokey character that we see in Batman Forever with Jim Carrey. It was more like, no, this is, no, this guy is, he's a serial killer, do you know what I mean? And even the clues as well. So it gave the detective aspect of Batman a cinematic justice that we haven't seen in any of the films. I mean, there's been elements of his detective genius in the films, but not like this. This was a detective story. And I love the chemistry between him and Gordon. Like, they had a fantastic kind of partnership, you know, like where you can tell, obviously, they've been, they trust each other, and they've kind of been, they're in sync, because you can tell they've worked a few cases, you know, in Batman's first year, and obviously, like, the rest of the Gotham City PD don't really trust Batman. I mean, you see it in that first scene when Batman arrives on the crime scene, and it shows the POV view of the camera of all the cops looking at him, like, kind of like in shock, but also in distrust. And then even that guy stops him and goes, "Oh, whoa, when the cop stops him, he goes, this is a crime scene, you know?" And then Gordon's like, "He's with me." And he's like, "Are you sure you want to let him in?" He's like, "Let him pass." You can feel the tension between Batman and the cops, that they don't quite trust him, but at the same time they kind of, it's kind of like a, they feel like they don't trust him, but at the same time he is helping, but he hasn't quite got their trust yet. But yeah, the opening scene was so, the opening of the movie was so brilliant, like from the killing with the Riddler to Batman's opening, which was so badass. Like, I just love the fact that you felt the criminal's fear, and the music as well, that score is so good, and that theme music was just dun, 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 dun. Oh, it was so good, and you could just feel, as it kind of crescendos up, like you could just feel like the fear that the criminals had, like where you see like different criminals doing different crimes, and then they see the signal, the bat signal in the sky, and then it just kind of stops on them for a moment as their fear builds up. There was one where one of the criminals was running away from like a robbery, looks up in the sky, it's raining, and then he looks into this dark alley and he can't see anything but black, and it gives a really good horror feel, like almost like, and it gives you that POV, that point of view of the criminals, of what they feel what they're feeling about the Batman, the reputation the Batman already has or kind of has in Gotham with some of these criminals. I thought that was brilliant. And that opening scene where obviously the knockout gang, which again, what Matt Reeves did there was really great, because it was actually bringing in a real world element. Because I don't remember if you remember, a few years ago there was this whole social media phenomenon of all these gangs or just people in general, like, trying to knock random people out on the streets, and it was a really real problem, and it showed that that gang was doing the same thing. So they brought that back in this film, and just as the gang like were cornering this guy when he comes off the subway, and then you see that one of the guys, the main kind of guy who seems to be like being initiated into the gang, he sees the bat signal like just before Batman comes, and as they're chasing that guy, and you can tell he's kind of wanting to be part of the gang, but at the same time he's not really sure, but he's kind of nervous. And then you see like you hear the footsteps as Batman's coming, and they all stop, and you've got the dark, and then he emerges from the darkness. You know, I am the darkness. I love it. It was so good. And then that guy, because that scene in the trailer really got me, and that guy was like, who are you supposed to be? And then he attacks Batman. Batman just beats the hell out of him. He just grounds and pounds him. And he's just, I'm vengeance. That was so good. I just brought chills down my spine. I was just so excited to see that. And he just took them all out. Oh, I loved it. But one thing I'll say I really loved about Robert Pattinson's portrayal of Batman in this film was, I love the fact that he's not quite grasped the persona of Bruce Wayne. Because anyone who's a Batman fan, anyone who knows Batman, knows that Bruce Wayne died in the alley with his parents when his parents were murdered. Like, he died with them. And that day he became Batman. He became the Dark Knight from that day, you know. And this film, it's his early years. So this is year one, year two, I believe. I don't know if it's year two or year one. So I think it's kind of loosely based off Frank Miller's year one. Obviously a little bit of The Long Halloween detective story, and a few other elements of Batman, which I'll talk about in a bit. But what I loved was that he hasn't quite grasped the persona of Bruce Wayne that he's supposed to put on, you know. And even that first scene with Alfred, played by Andy Serkis, who was brilliant as Alfred. Everyone was brilliant in this film. Alfred's like talking to him about, like, you know, needing to keep up your family name, and he's just his family legacy, and he's like, I don't care, like, this is my family's legacy. And then, you know, and there's a moment where he snaps at Alfred, he goes, you're not my father. And Alfred kind of pauses and he goes, I know, you know. And I liked that tension, that was really good. But he's not Bruce Wayne at all. He's Batman, and he hasn't quite grasped the persona of Batman, of Bruce Wayne, shall I say. And it's not till like really late in the film, like I think maybe an hour into the film, that you actually see him put on the Bruce Wayne, he didn't even put on the Bruce Wayne mask, but at least come out as Bruce Wayne. Because you see him like wearing a hoodie, and he's got the paint still on his face from the obviously the mascara that he has to wear, or the wall paint he has to wear to cover his eyes when he's got the cape on. Like, he's still got that there. He looks very dirty and grimy. Even Alfred's like, oh, take a shower, you know what I mean? He looks dirty, grimy. He's been fighting crime all evening, and he's still in that Batman mode, even when you see him as Bruce Wayne, quote-unquote, and he's not wearing the costume. Like, and you don't actually see him smile. You only see him smile one time in the film, and it's when Alfred gives him the, or Alfred's, he reveals that he's got the Wayne cufflinks, and he goes, "Oh, you're Wayne," and he smiled for a moment there, and he goes, "Oh, that was your father's," and then he goes back to, you know, the kind of miserable, kind of angry, stoic Batman figure that he is throughout this film. So I thought that was really good. I think I like the fact that he was kind of out of control. You see it in the way he fights. You see it in the way he carries himself. I loved his slow, kind of methodic movements, like when he's not fighting, you know, obviously, especially when he's in detective mode, but also just as he's talking, you know, he doesn't really raise his voice that much. He's really like, very like, not monotone, but he's like this kind of voice. He's like, "Alfred, you're not my father." Like, he's very, "I am doing Gotham's, I'm doing my father's, I'm doing my family, this is my family's legacy." Like, the way he talks is very chill, but very, you can hear the anger in his voice. You could sense that through his eyes. A lot of the acting Patterson did in this film was just through his eyes. Like at the funeral, when he's looking at the boy, who you see his father, that boy's father, getting murdered at the beginning of the film by the Riddler. And he has that kind of empathy for the boy without actually saying anything, just through the way he looked at him. And it wasn't just empathy, it was like a reflection of his own pain that he was looking at when he was looking at the boy at the funeral scene. And I thought that was really powerful, really great acting by Patterson and the boy as well. But yeah, just he was not Bruce Wayne at all in this film. So anyone saying, I've seen like some reviews where, particularly John Campia, where he said, "Oh, you know, in the spoiler talk, oh, you know, because he's not sure whether Patterson or Ben Affleck is his favorite Batman." Because for me, Ben Affleck is still my favorite Batman, because I like his Dark Knight Returns style portrayal of Batman in Batman versus Superman, particularly. But obviously, he's been 20-year veteran, so he's got the Bruce Wayne persona, you know, whereas this Batman's a younger Batman who hasn't quite got that yet. So what he said was, you know, what Patterson's Batman didn't do was have the definition of Bruce Wayne and Batman, obviously understanding that Bruce Wayne died in the cave and Bruce Wayne is just the persona that he puts on. But I don't think what John Campia didn't understand is, and Matt Reeves has talked about this in interviews, but I got it from watching the film anyway, he hasn't quite grasped that yet. He's out of control still a little bit. He's still in his rage mode. He's still new to this. You know, he's still trying to deal with his emotions in terms of his anger, his pain, his vengeance, you know what I mean? Like, he's literally out for vengeance against the crime in Gotham, you know, for what happened to him. You know, he's not quite got the whole persona. Even that opening scene, for example, or you see with Catwoman later on, he's not primarily concerned with helping people, even though he is helping people, and even though that's what he wants to do and that's who he is, etc. He at this stage is not really about helping people. He's more, which you see towards the end of the film, and it's beautifully portrayed at the end of the film in the flooded scene where he like stops the people from getting electrocuted by sacrificing himself, like just jumping on that electric cable and cutting it off and then falling into the pool of water and then helping those people. That was like a changing point in him where he realizes his mission is to help people, not just to punish criminals. But my point is, throughout this film, he's not about helping people, he's about punishing the criminals. And that's why you see him only as Batman. You don't see the Bruce Wayne persona. Even when the mayor, when he finally shows up as Bruce Wayne, quote unquote, in public, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's Bruce Wayne. Oh, you know." And the mayor talks to him and she's like, "You know, your family, you know, was, you know, very did a lot of philanthropy, but as far as I know, you're not doing anything." Because he wasn't keeping up with the Wayne philanthropy, which again, Alfred had kind of badgered him about at the beginning of the film, all the keeping up with your name and all this kind of stuff. You know, he wasn't concerned with all that stuff. What he was concerned with was punishing the criminals. He was concerned with bringing fear to the criminals. He was concerned with vengeance, revenge for what happened to him, really, and to dealing with his pain through Batman, who he is. That's who he is, you know. So I completely disagree with that notion. I'm still not sure, actually, but I think Ben Affleck is still my favorite portrayal of Batman, even though I absolutely love Pattinson's portrayal. Like, it's absolutely brilliant, and I'm a big fan now. I was a fan of Pattinson before, but like, I'm a bigger fan now. Because obviously he's portrayed like my favorite comic book character in such a great world movie, and in now my favorite Batman movie, and possibly my favorite comic book movie of all time now. But yeah, just the way he carried himself, like going back to Catwoman, I thought she was played brilliantly by Zoe Kravitz. The fighting was really good. Like, I loved when that scene where she's going to steal the passport. She's doing a cat burglar thing. Shows her with her tools. And I love that even the soundtrack was really good. And then Batman turns up and he's like, oh, you're good at that. And then they start fighting. I love the fact that they showed her moves and that she's really capable, but she's not on Batman's level. Like, they didn't try and make it, that she's such a badass, she's able to beat Batman up or get one over on Batman. I like the fact they didn't do that, because some of these films nowadays, they're doing that, especially with the female characters. They want to show this feminine power kind of thing. Narrative, but I like the fact they didn't do that with Catwoman. They made her very capable, very skilled fighter, you know, in her own right, but she's not on Batman's level, you know. And that was important to show that in the fight, so I really enjoyed that. But going back to Catwoman, like, when she was infiltrating the club with Bruce's contact lens camera, like, she was talking about, oh, like, you know, you don't even care what happens to me. And he was like, look at me. And then they had like a little moment where they're staring at each other's eyes. But he was just concerned with the camera. He was just like, yeah, it's all good. And he was being very cold in that scene. And I don't think it's because, like, she was saying, and like some people might interpret that, he doesn't care about anyone, he doesn't care about her. It wasn't that. It was more like he's trying not to get too close to people, because the only person he's close to is Alfred, and he doesn't want to fit. He even says it to Alfred later on in the film, after Alfred was in hospital with the bomb, and when he woke up, he said, I didn't know if I'd wanted to feel that fear again, the same fear he felt when his parents died, of losing, because that trauma has affected, defined who he is, and that pain, he doesn't ever want to feel that pain again. So that's why he's very detached from people, you know. Even Alfred a little bit in this film, he's still even a little bit detached from Alfred, but obviously Alfred's the only person he's really close to. Obviously he's close to Gordon in a professional way, and he's close to Catwoman in a professional stroke kind of romantic way, but more of a sexual tension kind of way than a romance, full-blown romance. And it becomes that kind of later on in the movie. But what I liked was that portrayal, that it's not that he doesn't care about anybody, it's more that he doesn't want to get close to anybody. Because even going back to that opening scene where he beats up the gang, saving that guy from getting beaten up from the gang, he's not doing it to save the guy, he's doing it to punish the criminals. And even when the guy is like, please don't hurt me, and he doesn't reassure him, he just looks at him and just kind of looks away, you know. He's kind of like, I thought those little subtleties that Patterson played was so fantastic, because he wasn't trying to get too close to that person, because he knows that guy could have been killed in that situation, and he didn't want to attach himself to that, even this total stranger being being lost like his parents were. You know, same with Catwoman. Like, he didn't want Selina Kyle. He didn't want her. He didn't want to get too close to her in that moment, because he does know that, oh, something could happen to her in that club. But he didn't want to get close to her. He's cutting himself off from attachment to other people because of the pain he suffered from his parents' loss. And those little nuances and detail that Matt Reeves brought into the character, I thought was fantastic. It's really great. I've seen the movie twice now, so I picked up a lot of things the second time that I didn't pick up the first time. So, going into some of the other details, one of the things I'll say as well is that when the Riddler was revealing about the sins of the Waynes, and what I thought was fantastic was they showed Thomas Wayne's flaws, but they also showed Martha Wayne's flaws. And this reminded me of the Flashpoint story. So if you don't know, Flashpoint is a DC kind of alternate universe story in which the Flash changes the course of history. And what happens is, in the Batman universe, instead of Martha and Thomas Wayne dying in the alley, it's actually Bruce Wayne who dies in the alley. And you see what happens to Martha and Thomas Wayne. Martha has a mental health breakdown and becomes the Joker. And Thomas Wayne becomes Batman, but he becomes a more ruthless Batman than Bruce ever was. Like, he kills, he has no line, he's really ruthless. He's a really dark Batman. It's really interesting kind of take on the story to show how the Waynes aren't perfect, because they are shown in this kind of perfect light. They were very they were philanthropists, they were like Gotham's kind of angels, you know, kind of thing, billionaires trying to help the poor and the needy and all this kind of stuff. But behind that, these people had flaws, and they showed I like the fact that he made Martha an Arkham. So she's part of the Arkham family, aka the institution of Arkham Asylum. That's the family established for the mentally ill and the criminally insane. And they showed actually that Thomas Wayne was trying to cover up Martha's mental health breakdowns that she had had. And that was a great callback to the Flashpoint. And it was the fact that she had those mental health issues already, like, while she was already, before the incident where they got murdered, she already had those mental health incidences before. So going back to the Flashpoint story, it would make sense that losing her son would push her over the edge. And even Carmine Falcone was saying, when he was talking about Thomas Wayne to Bruce, he was like, well, you'd be surprised what a good man will do when he's pushed to his limits. And the Joker in, like, the Dark Knight films, Christopher Nolan's film, was all about that kind of thing, about pushing people to the limits. You're like, one bad day, kind of like you're like, even the Joker in Joaquin's Phoenix film, like, you know, it's like, one bad day, what could happen, you know, to a good person or to anyone, you know. But with Thomas Wayne, like, he made a bad decision because he wanted to cover up and protect his wife from the ridicule of the mental health issues, you know. Because if that, obviously being a public figure, having to deal with the scrutiny of the world questioning what her mental health is, and, you know, having to deal with that in the news and the papers and the press all the time, that would have been an extra strain on an already strenuous problem. And that's part of being a public figure that I don't think a lot of us who aren't public figures we underestimate. Like, because we all have issues, all of us, including celebrities. But with celebrities, it's amplified like times 1,000, because every little thing they do is scrutinized. Hence why a lot of them want to live in gated communities, want to have a lot of privacy, because they don't want their private lives, like, broadcasted to the world, because it just causes extra, it makes the problem's really hard to deal with enough. You know, if any of us have, like, when we have our issues, it's hard enough to deal with, but imagine the scrutiny of millions of people, like, in the newspaper. You open up the newspaper, you see people talking about your issues and all this, you know. I think that I can't even imagine what that's like, but that must make things twice as hard to deal with. So it makes sense that Thomas Wayne, again, knowing what we know about Thomas Wayne when he becomes the Batman in the Flashpoint saga, like, where he would cross lines at certain points, you know, where it's like he's trying to protect his family, where there's an injustice, you know. So it makes sense he would go to Carmine Falcone. He would go to, you know, and try and cover up, you know, his wife's mental illness. But he didn't realize that Falcone was going to kill the guy and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, he knew that Falcone's a, you know, mob. He's a mob boss, so, you know, he's not a great guy to go to. And Bruce was obviously disappointed when he heard that. And I like the fact that he was, like, disappointed with Alfred. It was like, you lied to me my whole life. I've been fighting for this the whole time, and I realized my father wasn't perfect. It was like, it wasn't obviously that perfect white knight that he thought he was. And then Alfred was like, your father was a good man, but, you know, obviously he was doing this to protect your mother. He wasn't perfect. And I liked that conversation, because it was like showing, is that this is a man who's flawed, but he was, at his heart, he was a good man. But you'd be surprised what good people would do if pushed against. Some good people, anyway, will do if pushed against the fence in certain situations. And it just showed, like, obviously the Wayne family aren't perfect. Obviously, we know Bruce ain't perfect, but you see, you know, the portrayal of his family in the public eye, obviously, is of this perfect family. But we know they're not. And I thought that was great. And I love the hush kind of, that was the words hush, which is kind of like almost like an Easter egg tribute to the comic run of Batman Hush as well. So there was that as well. Oh, let's talk about Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell was brilliant as the Penguin. Again, unrecognizable. Like, if I didn't know that was Colin Farrell, I wouldn't know it was Colin Farrell in that fat suit, in that costume, as the Penguin. I love his portrayal. Again, he's got that mob boss kind of thing, because you're obviously telling the story of Carmine Falcone, his relationship with him, and obviously Salvatore Moroni, who again, they, going back to the Alfred scene, he wasn't sure if Salvatore Moroni, and also when he's speaking to Carmine Falcone, wasn't sure, but they kind of elicit him in the murder of the Wayne family, or the parents. That he had, it was a coincidence that the next day they were killed by a so-called thug in the street, but it was actually an arranged killing. So that was quite interesting. But yeah, going back to Colin Farrell's Penguin, I loved Colin Farrell's portrayal of him. Like, he kind of reminded me of like a Robert De Niro type character. It's like, oh, take it easy, sweetheart. And even that the car chase, like, it's so great. That car chase with the Batmobile when it shows up is fantastic. It's like a character in itself. That intro was so good when he's revving up the engine in the corridor. In the alley, should I say. And it was very much like almost like a horror movie, the way they showed it. It's almost like, it reminded me a bit of Jeepers Creepers. Like, there was a few scenes in that car chase that reminded me of the Jeepers Creepers opening scene, where the lorry is chasing the two teenagers, and you see it in the rear view of the rear view mirror of the car that they're driving. So when he's when the Penguin goes there's an explosion in the background during the car chase, and he's like, ha ha ha, I got you, ha ha, you know? And then Batman comes through the flames and then just takes him out. Like, that was so epic. I love that. And it showed the power of the Batmobile. Like, and I like it in its raw form. It was in its raw kind of primitive form. Like, you see it with, like, the extra engines and boosters at the back and all that. But it's not quite the glamorous Batmobile that we see in, like, Batman versus Superman with Ben Affleck's Batman, or The Dark Knight, the Tumbler in The Dark Knight, or any of the other films like the Tim Burton films, the way that's portrayed. It's kind of in this raw, like, old, it's like a classic sports car that's kind of been modified, and I like that. I like the way that they designed it, and I can't wait to see the Art of Batman. Like, there's I collect a lot of Art of Movie books, because they're just so fantastic, seeing all the concept art, like hearing the director's commentary, the concept artists, and all the people behind the scenes, like how they came up with the visual concepts, and like seeing the storyboards and like just the making of the movie. The Art of Batman is coming out, I think, next month. It's currently March 2022, so I think it's coming out in April of this year, so in about a month's time. So I'm looking forward to getting that and just seeing some of the concept arts of around this film. Seeing the concept art for the Batmobile especially, that'll be interesting to see. But it was a character in and of itself, and the intro was fantastic. One of the best intros to the vehicle I've ever seen, actually. It's really, really good. But that car chase was so, so good. And I'm never really like a massive car chase guy. You know, I'm more of a fight scene guy. Obviously, I'm a big martial arts fan. I'm a martial artist myself. So I'm always so intrigued by fight scenes. We'll get into that in a minute, but I thought the car chase with the Penguin and Batman was just really good, really, really good. Really, it reminded me, like, the Batmobile chasing the Penguin, it just reminded me of the Jeepers Creepers movie, like where that truck is like chasing you know, the teenagers on the highway. It was a character. It was a horror character in and of itself, and I thought that was fantastic. But yeah, the fight scenes, absolutely fantastic. I've already touched on Catwoman, like with the fight scene between her and Batman, and how it was shot. I loved the fact that they the editing and the way it was shot with nice wide shots. You could see everything that was going on. Now, Christopher Nolan did a very frantic kind of like supercut kind of thing. Like Jason Bourne, like you can't see what's going on. Like there's about 1,000 edits in each fight. But I liked the reasoning why he did that, because he explained it in the making of. He wanted like you to he wanted the audience to see it from the criminal's point of view, that they wouldn't really know what's going on, and it was very chaotic, and obviously Batman moves in the shadows, and he would use a lot of like kind of ninjutsu tricks and from like he learned from the League of Shadows to kind of be able to take on like multiple guys, you know, multiple criminals in the fight scene. So I understand the narrative reason why he did the fight scenes the way he did in the Dark Knight trilogy. But, you know, I think Hollywood in general just doesn't know how to do fight scenes, and they just film like that all the time because they don't really take the time to craft fight scenes like they do in like the Hong Kong cinema. There are like teams now of people in Hollywood that do fight scenes justice and pay as much attention to the fights as they do to the story and the character, because they understand that the fights are part of this, a huge part of this character and a huge part of the storytelling of a film. Again, film is visual, fighting is a reflection of one's character, the way you fight. Like, are you merciful or are you ruthless? How well have you been trained, and why have you been trained in this way? It also tells the story of the environment of the film. Like, what type of environment is this? Is it a science fiction environment. Hence, we've got a lot of Hong Kong style, kind of a wushu, waifu, kind of kung fu style fighting like we see in The Matrix. Or is it more of a grounded, like gritty, like fighting that's more reminiscent of military combat, which you see in, say, for example, the Bourne films with the action? It's, you know, the fighting style is more like the Filipino Kali style, more efficient, more, you know, dealing with weapons and things of that nature. So I'm very much about that. And, you know, best team probably in Hollywood is Chad Kachowski's team, with is it 2711, I think the production company is called. Basically the same production company that did John Wick. I think they did Nobody, Atomic Blonde, those movies that had fantastic fight scenes. David Lynch as well, who co-directed John Wick. Those guys, they're the best in Hollywood at that. But going back to the Batman, like with the fight scenes, again, what I appreciated was Matt Reeves' ability to understand that we wanted to see Batman's fighting skills. Because I think Ben Affleck's Batman did that as well, very well. I love the warehouse scene in Batman versus Superman, where he's taking out fools, and you really just see like his mastery as a fighter, as a martial artist, and the brutality of Batman in the fights. And again, you see it really well here. You know, I'll go back to the opening scene with the gang, but there's also the scene with the copycat Riddlers at the end. There was plenty of really good scenes. There was a really good scene where you see the Batman in the dark, like, and he's entering Falcone's territory, and like you see all the gun flashes, and like just like within the flashes you see him taking out fools. Like that's I did love that scene. That's kind of like a typical Batman scene that you see a lot, where you see flashes of dark and then Batman taking out people. We don't really know what he's doing. You can't really see it, but you can see it, kind of thing. Nolan did that really well in The Dark Knight Rises. There was a scene in the sewers just before he fought Bane, and he showed a bit of that there, which was really cool. You see Batman like appear like all of a sudden, or he appears in like different areas of the room, and then he's like straight up towards the criminals, like taking them out as they're firing guns and things like that. So like that scene was really, really good. But yeah, like I really enjoyed this film so much. Like there's so much to it. I'm sure I'm missing some things. I mean, like the end part of the film wasn't as good as the beginning. First time I watched it, I was kind of like, the ending was a bit, it definitely wasn't as powerful as the beginning, the opening scenes and the opening, that with the Riddler and the opening fight scene, and then the opening crime scene with Gordon and Batman and the cops investigating the crime scene. But it grew on me, you know. And like I said, I really liked the part where he realizes he's about helping people. You know, you see him, he likes the flare, the red flare. I love the color palette in this film, and the branding with the red and black. I loved it in this film. And then the posters that you see promoting the film. But anyway, just when he's in the water and he starts helping the people, and he's realizing like that's what he's supposed to do. It's not just about punishing the criminals. It's about helping Gotham's innocent, helping the people, the victims, not be victims. That's his job, you know. And then even when he's carrying that woman on the roof, and then he puts her on the stretcher with the soldiers or the ambulance, and she kind of just holds his arm, and he looks at her, and she looks at him, and she's almost looking at holding him just to say thank you, like for helping me. and he looks at me in just with the eyes. I love, that's what I love. I love non-verbal communication. Mise-en-scene is so important in film. That's why, another reason why I hate subtitles, because I don't want to be reading the film. I read books. I don't need to read films. Like, I want to watch the film, because you want to see the mise-en-scene. You want to see these little subtleties, these little nuances, like I said, that the connection in the eyes between Batman and the woman, and him realizing, this is my purpose, this is what I'm supposed, this is really about, this is about helping other people, you know. Whereas throughout the film, like most of the film, it was about vengeance. Like he said, I'm vengeance. He's here for vengeance, he's here for retribution, he's here to punish the criminals. He's not there to help other people per se. Obviously he does want to help people, but that's not really his purpose. His purpose is just beating the criminals up, like just destroying people, just like making sure that the criminal, that crime is punished, you know. So yeah, I really enjoyed that part of the film. Let's talk about the Riddler. The Riddler, I thought, again, it was really well played by, I forgot the actor's name, but yeah, he was fantastic, absolutely fantastic, blew me away. Like, I love the fact that they made him into like a Seven style killer, you know, Zodiac style, Saw style thing, you know. I just really liked it, and I loved the riddles, like just the fact that Gordon and Batman had to figure out the clues. And Batman was very sharp, you know, he was able to figure things out a lot faster. You could see that he was like steps ahead of everybody else as they were trying to figure out. Like even at the crime scene, like seeing that when he was walking around and looking at subtle clues, like the blood on the floor or like markings and things like that. And as he was walking around looking, and then he would walk away, and then there was one really good scene where one of the detectives, the forensic scientists, or the detectives were looking, watched him look at the floor, and then they looked at him, and then they looked at the floor to see the clue that he had seen that they hadn't seen. Like those little subtleties that Matt Reeves added in the mise-en-scene, in the cinematography, I thought that was so fantastic. And it's those little details that make a great storyteller, and those little things that you might not pick up as an audience if you're just in it for a blockbuster popcorn film where you just kind of just want to see, you want everything explained to you verbatim. Like film is a visual medium, so there's little nuances, like a lot of the things I pointed out, like the hush, the Martha's mental health, like the scene on the crime scene where Batman sees like little clues, and then the detective, the forensic team see it second, and they're looking at him like, oh, and they're not saying anything, it's all said in the way that they respond, in their body language, in their eye contacts, in their movement. Like the fact that he sees the clue and then he moves on to see another clue, and the detective or the forensic scientist sees what is watching him watch the floor, and then points the torch to the floor, and then notices the clue on the floor, you know. But those little subtleties, that's the sign of masterful filmmaking, and it's part of what makes this film a masterpiece, other than obviously the great story, the great acting. It's all those little subtleties in the cinematography that and that's the reason I'm saying this is a masterpiece of a movie. And I really enjoyed that. But yeah, just the Riddler, his, again, they did a great job of showing just he's trying to reveal like his, he's trying to reveal like the crimes or the flaws of a lot of the people in the city, the corrupt cops, you know, obviously down to the Waynes, you know. And then you find out, obviously, that he was an orphan, just like Bruce Wayne was. But even when he's talking to Batman in the interrogation, he was like, well, Bruce Wayne is not an orphan. He doesn't know what orphanage is, like, from his ivory tower. Like, the orphanage is sharing with 40 other people, 40 other children in an orphanage and all this. So you could see he was a victim. You know, he was a victim of losing, you know, his parents as well. But, and my sister pointed this out, because I saw the film with my sister the second time. Actually, it's interesting, because he was, both the Riddler and Batman were very similar, and it could have gone through down the same path. Like, Batman could have gone down the same path, but he didn't. You know, and what makes Batman different, again, from what Thomas Wayne becomes in the Flashpoint Batman, is his rule about not killing. Because he knows, because Batman's not a Boy Scout, he's not a nice guy. He'll break your arm, he'll break your back, he'll destroy you. You know, he's out to punish crime and criminals. You know, he doesn't ever lose that, even though he's really, really in a dark place in this film. And he comes, obviously, as he gets more mature, he's still in a dark place, but he's in less of that dark place that you see him in the beginning of the film. But that line of not killing the criminals is what stops him from becoming a criminal and becoming like someone like the Riddler, you know. And I just liked that portrayal. I liked the serial killer aspect of it. I liked the fact that we had to figure out the clues, because the Riddler is a mastermind, you know. He's, you know, a very smart guy. And I liked the fact that we also looked at the clues and we thought, oh, you know, when he was targeting Bruce Wayne next, and we didn't, it made, what Matt Reeves did really well there was make us think that he knew that Bruce Wayne was Batman. And he was like, Bruce Wayne, he kept saying it like it was, like he knew he was Batman. But then he finds out, oh, we did, then he says, oh, but we didn't get Bruce Wayne. And when he says that, you kind of see Batman's face change, because he was almost like very vulnerable in that scene, like, oh my god, he knows I'm Batman, he might reveal to everyone who I am. But then you realize, actually, in that moment, that he doesn't know who he is. And I thought that was so good. That cinematic play on, like, does the Riddler know if he's Batman or not? You know, I thought that was so good, you know, so good. But yeah, he was fantastically played by the actor. I really liked it. And especially, I love that scene where he got arrested at the end, and then you see, like, the question mark in the coffee. That whole scene was so good. The cinematography in it was so great. Oh, as a filmmaker, I'm just geeking out over that stuff. But yeah, no, oh, great portrayal of the Riddler. I really enjoyed it. One of the guys who stole the show, one of the actors, or one of the roles that stole the show in the film, amongst, like, a lot of great performances, or great performances all around. Again, Jeffrey Wright as Gordon was just fantastic. And I love the back and forth with him and Batman, like when they're interrogating the Penguin, the way they're talking back and forth, and the Penguin's like, what is this, you know, good cop, bad cop kind of thing. And the Penguin was making me laugh, like Colin Farrell was just making me laugh in those scenes. And they'll talk about the Spanish as well, you don't speak Espanol, and he kind of figured out the clues. He's talking, and Gordon's just telling him, like, why didn't you just do me a favor, shut up, like, oh, it was great. But I loved their back and forth, like, and Jeffrey Wright's a fantastic actor, and he was a perfect for the role. Like, this film is cast by a lot of people, apart from Andy Serkis, who you would think would make a perfect Alfred. Like, it's cast with a lot of people who you wouldn't have thought, like, a lot of people probably wouldn't have thought Robert Pattinson, including myself, although I was open to it. I wasn't like these other people who were like, oh, Twilight boy. Although I like Twilight, the Twilight movies, surprisingly. I do actually. Wouldn't usually be my type of thing, because it's very much aimed at like teenage girls, whatever. But I did actually enjoy the Twilight series. And obviously I've seen him in Tenet and a few other films, but he's a really good actor. But I wouldn't have thought for him to be Batman, you know. Wouldn't have thought for Jeffrey Wright to be Jim Gordon, Zoe Kravitz. I wouldn't have thought for her to be Catwoman. You know, like in general, like Colin Farrell as the Penguin, that was like the weirdest casting choice to me. It's like, he looks nothing like the Penguin. I wouldn't picture him to be the Penguin at all. But in this movie, he completely transformed and his performance was really good. And I was most excited about seeing him. But for me, like the Riddler kind of stole the show, you know, more than anyone, I think, in this film. But not by much, because everybody was like on the A game. But yeah. Overall, this film is an absolute masterpiece. I've seen it twice. I took a couple of weeks to see it a second time. I literally just saw it yesterday. It's Sunday morning as I'm recording this. I saw it yesterday with my sister. She liked it. Oh, she thought it was all right, she said. but I love this film. It's getting a lot of good reviews, and I'm happy to see that obviously a lot of people do enjoy it, have enjoyed it. For me, it's the film of the year so far. And it might just be my favourite comic book movie of all time. I think I need to watch it again and let it marinate a little bit longer. And as well, because I didn't have the same cinematic experience that I had with Endgame, with the fans and like the excitement and the build up. So that was a different experience than this. So obviously that's another thing that probably pushes Endgame in my favor of all time, because of the experience I had as well with the film at the cinema. But I'm not gonna obviously take that into account as well. I need to just think about it as a film. But I think, because again, Batman's my favorite character, and you know, The Dark Knight, Batman Begins were never like my favorite comic book films of all time, even though I loved them and they're up there, but they were never like my favorite, like number one, which is strange to think when I'm a massive Batman film. And I think those films are masterpieces. And I'm a massive Christopher Nolan film fan, should I say. Like a lot of the Marvel films have been like my favorites, like Captain America Civil War, obviously Endgame, all these kind of films. But this has, I think, is going to be my favorite comic book movie of all time. I think I need to see it a third time. I'm definitely going to see it a third time. But it got better the second time I watched it. It was just even better. And it is an absolute masterpiece. You know what I'm going to give it. I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. 10 out of 10, like, it is, to me, it's a masterpiece. It's a must-see. I can't wait to see it again. It's a long film as well, because the first time I saw it, there was a lot of things that went over my head. Again, I was very excited. I was actually quite tired when I saw the film as well, so I didn't pick up some things. Second time, again, I picked up more of it, enjoyed it even more. I still missed a few things that my sister pointed out that I didn't know. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't see that. And even like the stuff, like the Arkham part with Martha, like my sister pointed that out, and I was like, oh, I still didn't pick that up the second time I watched it. But again, that's why I love repeat viewings. And again, it's great seeing it with someone else, so that they see things that you don't necessarily see. And that's what I love about film, the subjectivity of it, but also people's different perspectives and different observations that maybe you don't see. So I'd love to know your thoughts on the Batman. What did you think? What did you pick up from the film that maybe I haven't discussed in this podcast? I'd love to know your thoughts. Let's discuss it on Twitter. And yeah, I look forward to seeing the Batman again. Fantastic film. Well done, Matt Reeves. Masterpiece. Well done, everyone who was involved in making this movie, because it is now officially my favorite Batman film of all time. And possibly my favorite comic book movie of all time. So I will see you next time for another podcast, another movie review for all things movies and martial arts. Make sure you hit the subscribe or the subscribe button or whatever you're doing on the podcast to keep in tune with the Aston Regis podcast, and I'll see you next time. Peace.